Yeah, on the 9th of June, we won't be here. You'll be pleased worship at the various services. I will leave my glasses here so that I can see who comes and who didn't come while we are worshiping in Malacca. Yeah, I pray that next year we can all go together, not only 50% of our, actually it's almost half of our congregation is going up for the camp. And I'm very excited about it because I always believe that in Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, Jesus went up to the mountain to pray, and then he called his disciples up there. And while up there, then he chose the 12. Prayed the whole night through. I believe the apostles, the disciples were there with him, because the next morning, immediately after he prayed, they were there already. So they must have observed how Jesus prayed, how he really interceded. So it's exciting. I just want to share with us this afternoon, since last week was Pentecost Sunday, and I'm not around because Saturday, Vicar was sharing on praying for the nations. I don't want to miss the opportunity to pray for each one of you after the service, to be filled with the Spirit, Holy Spirit of God, infilling, what we call it, infilling baptism of the Holy Spirit, whatever, it doesn't matter. The most important thing is that the filling of the Holy Spirit is a continuous feeling, one time, two time, and when you need it, it just come. So power on high is what I have selected for this afternoon, and it's taken from Acts chapter 2, reading from verse 1 to verse 13. And then also I want to touch on Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which is a very important Jesus promise, right? During Easter time, we had a small interview, remember? And in one of the topic I interviewed Edmund was about the Holy Spirit, and he mentioned that Jesus ascended into heaven. The purpose is to send the Holy Spirit down. So this is the era of the Holy Spirit. The theme of the Bible, okay, if you look through the Bible, throughout the whole Bible, it covers various topics. Covers creation, then man sinned against God, the fall, and then because of the fall, sin came in, and Jesus had to die on a cross, crucifixion, which leads to resurrection. And resurrection leads to ascension. All this, if the crucifixion without resurrection is meaningless. And resurrection without ascension, going up to heaven, seated at the right hand of God and sending the Holy Spirit, which is Pentecost, which we are celebrating last week and we're going to celebrate this evening. And of course, the last one will be the second coming of Christ. So the sequence of the theme of the Bible is creation, the fall, then Jesus came, crucifixion, and he resurrected, and then he went up to heaven, and then the Holy Spirit came down, and then we are waiting for the whole second coming. Many of us, certain topics are very, very passionate, like second coming of Christ, which Bishop Kwan is so passionate about waiting for the second coming of Christ. While waiting, we need to proclaim the word of God. But yet the Pentecost is one area that we really need to concentrate on. And so we are living in the era of the Pentecost. Pentecost is the feast, but on the Pentecost day, right, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. So what is the purpose of Pentecost? What is so great about Pentecost? The purpose of Pentecost, firstly, is for the empowerment. Nothing else. No, whatever it is. Most important is empowerment. Empowerment from God to be witnesses of the gospel and also fulfill witnesses of the gospel. And also the fulfillment of the promise of God. God says, I will send, Jesus says, and indeed he sent the Holy Spirit come. Empowerment of God, from God to be witnesses of the gospel. As you all know, I'm very, very passionate, and I believe that all of us for 4:30 service are very passionate in reaching out to people. We have tasted how good, how great the Lord is. And it is not our duty, but it's our joy to share the gospel. This couple of days, I've been spending a lot of time, again, my prayer mountain. I spent a lot of time in prayer mountain, begins almost 2 hours yesterday, and this morning almost 3 hours, just walking around and listening to song and really worshiping God. I just want to share concerning yesterday the experience that I had. And I was walking around and listening to songs, Come Holy Spirit song. And it just dawned upon me that we cannot live without the filling of the Holy Spirit. And I was walking down the mountaintop. Actually, it's not, it's just a very small little slope. Go early, you will see no one. As you go after the later, you see a lot of uncle aunties and coming with fan and dancing. But I was there, and then I walk around two or three round, and then as I walk under a tree, I was praying, Lord, I got three sermon topics to preach this weekend. This message, followed by the outreach Hokkien worship service later at the CNS, and tomorrow, which is the Hokkien service follow-up, it's a welcome party. So I'm very stressed. I say, Lord, I got three different messages. How am I going to cope up? And because last week we were in KL, whole week was really, really full. And as I was walking under the tree, I said, Lord, show me a sign. I'm very bold and says, show me a sign that the Holy Spirit is with me. And hello, and behold, a bird flew. It's not a dove for me. It's just a bird flew over my head and landed up on a tree. And it was swinging around. And then I walked past it. Then I become say, hey, maybe this is a sign the Lord want to show me. So I belakang pusing and go back to it. And look at the little bird was swinging because the branch is very weak. So the bird was swinging and swinging. And I just thank the Lord, right? We are filled with the Holy Spirit for whatever purpose. The most important purpose is to share the gospel. But in order to share the gospel, we must allow the power, the dynamo, the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit to be upon us. So empowerment from God to be witnesses of the gospel. And I believe that it's a sign. Not that I look for a sign, but I was really stressed. And I tell the Lord, show me. And the Lord indeed showed me just a little bit flying there. And I thank God for it. So be bold to ask the Lord to show us sign. But yeah, we are not looking for signs. Don't ever do that. But just to confirm, I'm a person who is very visual. I need to see visual in order to oomph myself up. And the Lord is so good. He showed me, not a dove. I think Singapore very hard to find dove or pigeon. So I thank God for it. So the purpose of Pentecost, which already passed last week, last Sunday we're supposed to celebrate, but the empowerment. And then what is the result? What for? Right? The empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment, the results of Pentecost is boldness to preach, to share the gospel, and it's our church growth. And then followed by warmer fellowship, right? Chapter 2. And then the spread of the gospel and miracles. These are the few things which the Holy Spirit will enable us to do. Firstly, it's boldness to preach. Now, don't think the preaching is only for pastors. When you hear the word preaching, you're so scared. Say, no, not me. Preaching means sharing the gospel. Just share, right? Be bold to share. And I always say, even to my colleagues, as pastors, as clergy, they say that shepherds don't give birth to sheep. Sheep give birth to sheep. So you are to reproduce, bringing people in. But I think that is a kind of excuse. And for me, I've been a clergy for so many years, but it's still my passion to share because I need to see people coming into the kingdom of God. Boldness to preach, boldness to share. Say, Pastor, I don't know what to share. Just share your testimony, how great God is in your life. And bring them, even like tonight, for those Hokkien speaking, you can bring them to the outreach, like the MediaCorp artists, ex-MediaCorp artists, Darren and Evelyn. They preach on the first Saturday in May. But today they're using Hokkien to preach. So it'll be exciting. Bonus to share, church growth. Right, after Peter shared the gospel, 3,000, just imagine one sermon, one topic, 3,000 coming into the presence of the Lord and accept. For us, it's one person come to know the Lord, we are so excited, we say, wow. But 3,000, church growth, really grew. And warmer fellowship, they sell whatever possessions they have, and then they shared among them, and no forcing, no pretense, just conviction of heart, the warm fellowship begins. And I can see a warm fellowship, very, very warm fellowship. Yeah, I'm bold enough to say very warm fellowship in a 4:30 service. After the service, they have a time of fellowship, eating. Eating is one area that can bond us together. And Jesus loves eating. Not that he's a glutton, but he loves eating. Many of the occasion, he ate with his disciples. He multiplied the fish and loaves. He was in the wedding of Cana of Galilee. And many times, he went to Mary and Martha's place. What for? Eat. So Mary much Singaporean, eat wherever you go. But it's a warmer fellowship, getting together, sell whatever they have, and then they do it out of love. But of course, Satan comes in and destroy everything. And Ananias and Sapphira came in. They said they sold the property. But they sold the property at a certain amount, but they said they give a false statement. And just because they want to offer to God, and they were struck dead by the Lord, God will clean His temple, and whatever is not right, He will clean it. So warmer fellowship, and then the spread of gospel. Well, from that day onwards, everybody shared the gospel. Even after that, Paul converted, and he shared the gospel. Bonus, Paul preached the gospel with bonus. And then, of course, signs and miracles happened. Immediately after feeling all the Holy Spirit, they went to the temple, a beautiful gate, and there was a man lame and was asking for money, silver and gold. And Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And the apostle hold the lame man by hand. That means there's a touch. Hold him up as the lame man looked at Peter. Hold his hand up and lifted him up, and then he walked. So there is this kind of, we need really encouragement to know that the Lord is healing, and we need to pick the person up. It's the same case as David when he struck down Goliath. He did not let him be unconscious there. He took Goliath's knife and cut off his head and took the head to show everybody, your enemy is dead. So visual. So there were signs and miracles. So many things that happened after the Pentecost, after the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them. Bonus to preach, and I pray that this afternoon later we're going to ask you to come to the front if you're convicted to pray. And we're going to, my staff and myself, we're going to pray for you. Just lay hands. It's not us who empower, just to pray for you that you have the bonus to share the gospel, that they will bring people into the kingdom of God and the church growth, and then the warmer fellowship, and then of course spread the gospel, and then miracles will happen. Truly miracles will happen. So let us be bold to share the gospel, right? The results of Pentecost. There's something I want to share, forgotten, never mind, I'll share later. Signs and wonders happens when we are bold enough. Let's look at the day before the Pentecost, right? Two things happened actually before the day of Pentecost. There was the promise. Whatever God promised, claim it and put it into action. John just said, this is the word of the Lord. Yeah, just, but the promise is the wait, right? Jesus, wait upon on high. And when the power of the Holy Spirit comes to you, receive it, and you will be my witnesses to all the places. Basically, again, the promise is to wait and then to claim the promise. Secondly, of course, the waiting, Acts chapter 1, the promise is, but you will receive. God says, you will. Definitely, 100%. Not that maybe, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit, when you will, and when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. So we'll receive when the Holy Spirit comes, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So this is the promise. Claim it. But before the Holy Spirit comes, it's the waiting period. It's the waiting time. The waiting, chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place for what? Actually, they are afraid. They are very frightened of what happened to Jesus, and it will come to them. So they're waiting together. By waiting, it's not inactive or negative. They were waiting together to pray, waiting upon the Lord. This is two things before happen. Claiming the promise and then waiting. Waiting. And good to wait, just to wait upon the Lord. There's so many strifes in our lives, so many things, but we need to just quiet and wait upon the Lord, and He definitely will come upon us. So two things, claim the promise and then wait. And then three things happened on the day of Pentecost. This is very exciting. While they were gathered together, suddenly there was a sound, literal sound. I don't know how it sounds, boom or whatever. The sound of wind blowing so strong. I believe the whole place was so messed up. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, things we do not understand. The whole place may be messed up, very unorthodox or very un-Anglican or whatever it is. Things will happen. People will drop. Things will fly about, whatever it is. God, the Holy Spirit power is so strong. And last week, as we were, last week, During our confirmation retreat, we are praying for people to be filled with the Spirit of God. And then when we pray, we will lay hands. And then those who are really open, do not hold back, they will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and some of them will be so-called slain, inverted comma. And after this, after the confirmation, there's two person came out and asked Caroline, myself, why you push me down? I said, I don't push you down, right? I said, but I sense your hand pushing me to fall. Then Carol explained, no, it's not pushing, it's just laying. But I feel that you're pushing me. I said, no, it's the Spirit, Holy Spirit, that pushes you down. Then they said, oh, it's, next time I will fall. It's really beautiful, but if you're not sleeping, it doesn't mean that you're not feeling with the Holy Spirit. The explanation is that because human, as weak as we are, then when something powerful comes upon us, we'll be struck. Even lightning, whatever it is, will stand up, and then lightning comes to struck you, you'll fall. What more? The Holy Spirit comes upon you. It's a beautiful visual of filling with the Holy Spirit. It does not mean that you don't slain, you are not. You are. When the pastor or when someone pray for you to receive it, because it's the promise, you will receive power on high. And then you will receive. Sound of violent wind blowing. That means violent, very, very, you can hear it. It's very strong. It can be scary. The whole place turn up upside down and a lot of things. Verse 2 says, suddenly they came from heaven, not elsewhere, not blowing. It came from heaven, a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And they filled the entire house or the entire place where they were sitting and praying. Then when they were praying, then the wind come, boom, even the door is closed. Because the door is closed, the fear of the soldiers may come and kill them. Everything is closed. If you go to Israel, normally the tour guide will bring you to the upper room or so-called another place where they say, that's a place. And we look at it there. I think there's only one entrance and then, yeah, everything is closed. Yet this wind becomes so mighty that it came upon. How it came in through the wall, nobody knows. Door is locked, window is locked. But there came a mighty rushing wind, zoom, rushing, not just wind, but rushing wind, and it filled the entire place. It's much like, I remember, I recall in Ezekiel 37, right? The valley of the dry bones, everything is hopeless. Ezekiel says, the Spirit brought me to a land where there's bones and many bones, and the bones were really dry. Ezekiel 37, verse 7, it says, So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound. Ezekiel 37, verse 7. There was a sound, and behold, the rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. Incredible. This bone is mine. That bone is Veron. It doesn't take Veron bone and join me, but it bones to bones. Every bone, I mean, joined perfectly. I mean, the bones are all messed up already. Yet it come bone to bone. And then as I looked, verse 8, and I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and the flesh had come upon them, and the skin had covered them, but there was no breath. Right? The sound, and then, but there was no breath in them. Verse 9. Then he said, the Lord said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to this breath, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on this slain, that they may live. And verse 10, So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Bones that is dry, the Bible describes even very dry. You know how bone is like? It's really dry. And to me, it's like those after cremation when we put the ashes, so-called the bones of the cremated people, it's really dry. No life. The bone marrow, everything is gone. Yet when I prophesied in verse 10, Ezekiel 37, he commanded me, and the breath came upon them, and they lived and stood like a mighty army, exceedingly great. This is what today the Holy Spirit is like in Ezekiel's time. We are dry. We are lifeless. Not say that we are physically lifeless, but we've been attacked by the evil one. Many things that happens in our life, and we are as dry as these bones. Yet on the day of the Pentecost came, Suddenly came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind and filled the whole house. And I pray that this afternoon we will be filled. Spirit will come upon this sanctuary and the Spirit will just come. In fact, He is here with us. God is here listening to us. Breath will come upon us. No matter how dry your life is, no matter what everything you're facing, difficulties in work, sickness, disease, financial, marriage is broken, whatever it is, what was dry became, what was dry and lifeless became fresh and alive. That's one of the work of the Holy Spirit. Even before you go out to preach, you need to be filled in order to be for the Lord. And then later it says that tongues of fire came, verse 3. And tongues, divided tongues, I don't know how it looks like, right? As of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. Now this is, people say it could be 12 disciples. More than that, those who were gathered in the prayer room came upon them. Always they have the picture of fire burning, scalding the head. Yet it's not bald, right? The hands. But the fire came upon them and they're not burned. Fire cleanses. Fire purifies. The first sign is the mighty wind. Secondly, is purification. And then the third point is, it's incredible. Verse 13 of Acts chapter 2. The whole place was rowdy. The wind came and then they speak in tongues. And then, wow, the whole place is jumbled up. It's so unorthodox. It's so un-Jewish. It's so not the same. But there was, I would say it's just out of the world. The noise, the fire, the tongues, and the wind, everything, everybody's slain. And it's just too difficult to accept. And then those who are around there, they remember, it's bigger than the 12 disciples. Many people from various states, country around them. And verse 13 says, the people who saw it, it must be incredible, very, very, wow, hard to explain. But others mocking them said, they are filled with the new wine. They are drunk. They are drunk. The people saw what happened and thought that the disciples were drunk. At this time, cannot be drunk. It's early in the morning. It's so rowdy that create havoc in the whole place. Yet this is the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, things will be different. We have to receive it and then things will come into order. But when He comes, let Him come and do whatever He wants to do in your life. New wine always is a prophetic team of the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, the infilling of the Spirit is compared and contrasted to drinking wine. Ephesians says, be not be drunk with wine wherein it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What God has for us is very distinctive right now. And it is a very special anointing for this era in our life. Be open, right? And then the new wine from heaven. The people, I believe, they saw it. They just said, crazy, these people are drunk. But it's not. And they quoted right correctly. They are filled with new wine. Filled with new wine. Holy Spirit, to me. Right? And then things take place. New wine speaks of a renewal of love and intimacy with God. Renew our love. Drinking the new wine. Right? And then it's a renewal of love. New wine speaks also of trial giving way to joy. You know, when grapes, before they become wine, they will be plucked, washed, pressed, crushed until everything is gone, until wine, the grape juice comes up. If you go to Israel, once again, you will see the wine press. This is cement, and then people, they call it step on it, whatever it is. But the beautiful thing is olive press is the same. Collected nice olive, very good. Take out a seed and then they grind it with a donkey, very big milestone. And the person will hold the donkey to go around and grind until oil is produced from the olive. So in a sense, that speak of new wine, freshly squeezed. The Hebrew word actually translate new wine means freshly pressed, squeeze, expel, and trodden out. The grapes have come to the winepress where they have been trodden underfoot. Press. Right, new wine. Then grape has been produced under tremendous treasure. This is a little bit spiritualized, but it's true. New wine, our life, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will crush anything that is not in us. Maybe some of us here, I think, believe that many of us here have gone through what we are going through or about to go through, a process of crushing. It may be due to your own mistake, it can be due to other things, but you feel that your life is pressed, crushed. When you feel that, when you're really seeking the Lord, now is the time of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the new wine in your life. And you will be filled with new wine. Like the people saw them. They are filled with new wine. Crazy, they're drunk. I'd rather be drunk with the Spirit of God than with whatever wine we have. Right? And then also the new wine, in order to have new wine, grapes have to be collected. And grapes is the best time during harvest of the grapes. Fresh. Speaks of abundance of the light. And new wine speaks of also celebration. Right? Jesus turned the water into wine. Celebration. And we have this new wine in us being poured out for us. When there's new wine, it will flow. It's a joyous expression. It's a joyous fulfillment of what God wants to do in our life. So be open that let the Holy Spirit come. You may feel very odd, and this place may turn into like the first day of the Pentecost. But when the Holy Spirit comes, because we are not used to it, things may be topsy-turvy, things may be comes to know what. But the Holy Spirit is the gentle spirit. He comes, He asks for permission. Would you like to be, let me fill you? If you say no, He doesn't force His way in. But when you are open to it, great and mighty things will take place. It may not be immediate, but when you need the you need the Spirit of God, because you're being prayed for, humble yourself, allow to be prayed for, and the fruit of the Spirit also comes. Patience, love, joy, all these things will come into your life. Indeed, the promise of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, is being fulfilled. I would put it this way. You have received the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. You will be my forceful evangelist. But even before you want to do that, we need the infilling of the Spirit in us. Violent rain comes like Ezekiel, dry bones, whatever dry period you have. Spirit comes, anointing. You'll stand up and you'll be different. Tongues of fire, you'll feel. The people, I'll observe it. These people are filled with new wine, drunk. And people will say around you, yeah, how come this person is so different? Because they receive the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Indeed, power on high will come upon us. Power on high, a new happening in our life. Can I once again, it's my joy to pray for each one of you. Can I request once again, the way I do it is, can I ask all head bow? Please bow your head, be humble before the Lord. All eyes closed, please. And I want to challenge us, each one of us, including myself, that we want this new wine in our life, we want this mighty wind to blow, and we want the tongues of fire to fill us. So with all eyes, all heads bowed and then all eyes closed, I'm going to ask you, even the Lord has wanted me to ask, Do you want my Holy Spirit to come upon you, to continue to fill you? And then you see many great and mighty things, things that you're not able to do, temptation, whatever. Holy Spirit, and you're able to overcome. Once again, head bowed, eyes closed. It's a challenge for us. Be humble to receive. And I ask of you to lift up your hands. And if you want a prayer, just say, yeah, lift up your hands. I'm going to pray for you. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am? Yes. Yeah, stretch it out to the Lord. Anyone else? Yeah. Thank you, Lord.